This week's episode of The Unwind is brought to you by Green Man Gaming. You can get 20% off the latest games by going to thecommentist.com and clicking on the banner.
So there's this book, like it was a novel, I think just called Hijabs. I was in a bookstore and the guy came in asking for it and he said, "Yeah, do you have that book, Hijab Babes?"
It's an anime novel.
Hijab Babes.
What up, nerds? Welcome to episode 50, the big 5-0 of The Unwind, a weekly show where we talk about tech, games, gadgets, and geek culture. My name is Rob Steller.
I'm Sean Thomas.
And I'm Josiah Hills.
Guys, we started this back in April of 2013.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
It's pretty good.
Which was exactly 50 weeks ago.
Yeah. We're very good at, do you remember what the first episode was?
Yes, I do. It was just you and me,
it
right?
It was, yeah.
It was BioShock Infinite.
That's what it was. We spoiled the hell out of that game.
Yeah. It was a fun game. I definitely was that game where you finished it and you're like, what the heck just happened?
Well, we finished
it. So what game are we going to spoil today?
I know, right? Well, we finished it and it was enough to start an entire podcast about. Led into this. Which is good because now I get to see you guys on a weekly basis.
Yeah.
I like that.
Really, this is just therapy for us.
Yeah. Catharsis.
Instead of going to a bar and hanging out, we do this.
Which is way cooler. Drinking our water.
Cheaper.
So Destiny 2.0 came out, and I started downloading it.
You did?
You know, it's an update, so I'm thinking, you know, not that bad, 2 gigs.
And I was waiting for you to download it.
Oh, yeah, I should mention two of my friends, one you may know of, Rob,
yep,
and one from our other podcast, Kiss the Crest, were waiting for me to play.
Yep.
I started downloading it, 17 gigs.
Yep.
And... where my
PS... the patch was just, 17. Just the patch.
Just the patch.
And that's crazy. Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure this was just the 2.0 because I was fairly up to date before that. It's not like 18 patches rolled.
How much space do you have on your PS4?
Honestly, I don't have that many games. It's mostly Bloodborne, Rocket League.
I don't know what the tiers are.
500. So, there's only one. Oh, they're putting out a 1 terabyte soon, but it's 500.
That's not too bad then. Okay.
But so it's 17 gigs, and where my PS4 is, it happens to have a lot of walls between. Even though I have an AC router, it doesn't, I mean, the PS4 doesn't even have dual band, which blows my mind. Does the Xbox One have dual band? Oh, you don't know, because you don't have a dual band router.
Nope.
But so it takes forever. It literally, I kid you not, when I first started downloading, it said 35 hours. And I texted Rob and Dave, and I go, I don't think I can play with you guys today.
Like it's 1995 all over again. Yeah.
They told me, it's like, oh, are you busy or something? You have to do something? No, that's when the download will finish. And it's actually, it's really bad. I don't know why the Wi-Fi signal is so bad on my PS4. But I did...
You got it.
Did eventually get it.
We played. Well, then you joined a strike, and then you wouldn't let us join, and then he started playing. So we ended up only playing.
Because you guys were in FIFA.
One mission to get. We were waiting for you, man.
I knew that was going to happen. This is what always happens. I'm impatient, and then I jump in, and then you guys send me 1,000 invites when you know I'm not going to jump out of the game. But one thing I should say, and we'll talk about this soon, but the strike I played, I had never played before, and it's probably the most fun strike I had played. It was just insane. It's not like there weren't bullet sponges, but it was just so crazy. There were so many enemies. I always felt like I was on my toes. It didn't feel too easy, and we had to work together, even though we didn't have mics.
You're talking about the one that I played with you?
No. You may have played this.
That was one of the old ones.
You may have played this. Like, it might be an old one, but it was fun either way.
So it's nice that you brought that up, because
what a coincidence.
I actually stole your topic for today. So I wanted to talk about the Destiny 2.0 patch. So... Destiny had, and I think we had talked about this earlier, but I had bought the Digital Guardian Edition, the big edition, the expanded edition was originally when it launched, because I got
it's essentially the season pass-ish.
Yeah, so I paid $90 up front, which ended up paying for the core game when it came out, and the two DLCs that came out before this patch, which were, I think, $20 each.
Yep.
Right?
So I think they're still 20.
Yeah, so I saved $10, I guess, total. Yeah. Which is fine because I ended up playing it anyway. And then the 2.0 patch came out along with another expansion, which is $40 as a standalone and also requires you to have the other two expansions.
So yeah, so if you have the other two expansions, it's $40. Yes. If you don't have the two expansions, you have to buy the all like the big package that has $60 and it comes with the first game, right, the two expansions and the.
So you were better off waiting until now and paying $60 to get the original game, two DLCs, and the new one.
Well, what's it going to cost when I wait another 6 months?
Yeah, like $10.
What happens when we go to 2100?
Yeah.
It'll be free to play.
So there are a couple things that I wanted to talk about, and I know you wanted to talk about too, Sean. First things first, you know, there were a lot of people who knocked Destiny because it was pretty repetitive. With the quests weren't very entertaining, to say the least. I mean, you kind of did the same thing, and we talked about this. You walk up somewhere, you hold down square, a bunch of wave guys come, you finish them, and then a big bullet sponge comes up at the end. That was
good. I mean, you're being nice when you said it was it wasn't that interesting. I actually didn't believe that the reviews were that true. I ended up buying it later.
Yeah.
But I was literally blown away about how many levels were just pulling out the ghost. Dinklebot talks.
It's crazy. And it's not Dinklebot anymore. Yeah, it's not Dinklebot. 2.0 changed that. Some of the missions you ended up going past the areas you already went in. So you replayed certain areas and just played an extra part.
It was clearly fluff.
So the 2.0 patch, it was interesting because I started reading reviews of this and people were like, oh, it changes the game. And that was, that to me meant something very specific in that the quest design was different.
Right. That's what you wanted changed the most.
Right.
So that's what you
It's actually a medieval game now.
Right. Swords. And actually, I think there is a new mission in The Taken King where it's just swords. There is one.
That is a cool thing to add, but keep going.
But anyway, so you download this huge patch, right? You pay another $40, and they changed a lot of core things that help the experience. So now the way quests are laid out are very different in that they kind of chain together. And it helps with the story, even though the story isn't really that great to begin with. But like, for example, I don't have to go back to an area to turn in certain bounties and quests that I'm doing, which is very, very useful because it takes a long time to load each section of the world that you're going to.
So for those who don't know, when you do a mission, you go to a planet and you have to go to the tower, which is the main social hub. It's a different planet. There's no missions on there, but that's where you do all your, and there's more than one hub, but you basically have to change levels to do anything.
So it changed that aspect of it, but the quests are still the same quests. In the beginning, I haven't played the Taken King quest because we were waiting for Sean to play them.
Right.
So we haven't actually played those. And I've heard that there's some that vary a little bit away from the typical model where you actually have to do certain things as a team and work together. We'll see about that. But I wanted to talk about, A, how expensive this patch is. Well, actually, I shouldn't say that because the patch itself was free. So you could download the 2.0 patch without having bought the expansions.
Yeah.
But the new content, obviously, you have to pay for again.
Right.
And it's a lot more than it's double what any of the other DLCs of that game cost, and it's more expensive than typical DLCs. And then we were talking about this off the show in that Diablo 3 was another game that came out with an expansion well after the game came out that changed the system.
Yeah, and actually, you know, we were talking about this last week's show when I haven't played Destiny. I played the beta on
beta.
Sorry, I played the beta on my 360 when it came out, whenever the beta was, the public beta. And I liked it okay, but I wasn't intending to buy the game because I don't really do a lot of first-person shooters. So when Sean was describing the game last week, I brought up this idea of, it just sounds like Diablo 3 as a first-person shooter because all the loot drops and the grind that you have to do. So, to your point, apparently Diablo. So I think, Sean, you're the only one of us who's played Diablo 3 after the big patch.
That's true, yeah.
Yeah.
So admittedly, I don't know what it was like pre-patch. So basically the problem with Diablo 3 was that you weren't getting enough loot. Also, I believe you kept getting weapons that you couldn't use. So you'd get some like legendary or epic, and all of a sudden
class or something, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's just so... I mean, loot is an incredibly critical part of these kind of games. I never had that problem.
Just a reminder, at that time they had the auction house.
Sure.
Yes. And so they were like, well, if you get something legendary that you can't use, just sell it or trade it or whatever and do your thing.
For those who don't know, the auction house is literally that. People can put up their weapons and stuff for auction and people can buy it. The reason why it becomes a bad problem or a problem is that what happens is you just end up buying from the auction house instead of going through loot.
Right.
So we've actually played Terra, and literally, I haven't played that many MMOs, but when I found out they had an auction house, that's all I did. And every time I finished a mission, it was useless because all the weapons I got were, like, worse. It wasn't even close.
Yeah.
They were so far below what I could buy.
Yeah.
And they also had these things. I don't know if they thought about this, but there were these items. I don't even know what they do, but they sell for a ridiculously high amount, and you can get a lot early on fairly easily. So I just sold a couple of those. I have so much gold, so I could just buy whatever the heck I want and continually do that. So that was the problem, and they took – it basically gets rid of the loot aspect. So they got rid of the auction house, and then they added real loot. And I should mention, I believe they increased the loot in Destiny too. Even though I didn't really get anything when I finished the level, I picked up a ton of I was already full by like two strikes.
So the other thing too is they changed the weapons. So basically all the weapons you had in version 1.0, including the expansions, the max you can get are pretty much the basic like uncommon weapons that you get in the 2.0. So weapons that I've gotten in the, you know, just playing one or two missions are already better than the best weapons that you could have had in the first version. So the other thing too is the Diablo patch was free also, the loot patch, I believe, right? And so, you know, obviously you could...
The expansion wasn't, but the patch was free.
Right, so you could add content again. So, I mean, both of these patches to change, the core system was free. So you're still paying for content. So what do you think about the $40 price tag that came with the Destiny expansion?
So there are caveats. I'm very disappointed for a couple of reasons. And maybe because I didn't play it, I almost feel like I'd be less disappointed with Diablo because I think it was still a lot of fun. Not that Destiny isn't. I mean, people play hundreds, if not thousands of hours, but I felt like the grind was so real. But what disappoints me is this is Bungie and Blizzard. Both of these teams, they're solid development teams.
Yeah.
Bungie basically had unlimited money. I mean, they were working with, I believe, Activision. They had tons of money. They've put out Halo games. They never put out an MMO, but they put out the Marathon series. But they, you know, they are skilled at what they do. Same thing goes for Blizzard. They make quality games. Even if sometimes it feels like the game is kind of a rehash of what came before, they're just so well done, and you just like playing them.
Yeah, I'll give Diablo 3 a pass. You know, I like RPGs. That's an action RPG. So the RPG elements are more heavily focused towards loot drop and leveling your character, that sort of thing, rather than story and character progression, which is what I like most about RPGs. So, you know, I knew that going in. It's the third version of the game, right? I didn't expect to be blown away by amazing story or anything like that. And the game mechanics were pretty tight. I mean, you know, you had pretty cool thematic powers based on what type of character you chose to build out. And, you know, it was good enough that I played through it, I think, three or four times with two different classes. So, like, total, I think I played through the game maybe five or six times with between two different classes. I have two level 60 characters. I went back a third time for a different class and didn't get very far. Like time, I stopped.
I only got through one and a half times.
Yeah,
because I found it mind-numbingly repetitive after that.
Well, it is, but it's still fun. I think to a degree because of the game mechanics that like you can still have massive kills. You can just barely pull out of a boss fight and that sort of thing. And just to be clear, I was playing with other people on those other
passers. So that's a big piece of it.
That's
a big piece of it. Because I don't think I would still be playing Destiny if one or two of my friends weren't playing with me when I played.
Yeah.
So when I played Diablo, I played by myself. And I should mention, it was easy. And you know what I did? I just upped the difficulty. It didn't make it super hard because then you start getting more, you get better drops. But the key to me to making it difficult is you have to use your skills. Like, for example, so I was the Demon Hunter, which is basically a ranger. You shoot stuff. So you have to be ranged, but the thing is, on normal, it's so easy. You could just run up to people and shoot the hell out of them. Yeah. But one of the key moves they have is this, they shoot like a shotgun set of arrows and then she jumps back. And I think it stuns them, which is really important to get out when you're getting mobbed.
Yeah.
Things like that were way more essential when I was actually fighting more difficult. Like I said, it wasn't terribly difficult. And I should mention after the patch, they also completely changed the difficulties except for easy and normal. I believe the new ones are called Inferno level 1 to 5.
Okay.
And I think you can, I could be wrong, I think you can play them at any time. I played on like hard or very hard, whatever that was, but not like the crazy, not Nightmare. I believe they got rid of Nightmare, which is the old hard.
So It's interesting too, because we were looking at the characters of mine before the patch and then Sean's afterwards.
Sure, yeah.
And I forget if they said the time played.
It did. So you were at 32 hours. Yeah. I was at 19 hours.
Yeah. And my guy, I think, did 500 damage and had 3,000 health or 5,000 health or something like that. And Sean was like 6,000 health and 3,000 damage or
no,
something
no, no.
Like that.
Mine was just over 8,000.
8,000.
Yeah.
Over 9,000.
Yeah. So literally, I mean, that's multiple times.
How many times did you play through?
Probably one and a half. I was level 49. You were level 40, yeah. But that's probably because I played on harder difficulty from the start. But I didn't play two times through for sure.
Yeah.
Like that was stuff, and I didn't have the auction house, so this was normal loot drops.
Yeah.
So do you think? So you played with the patch, and it didn't make you want to play it again. I guess that's kind of what I was getting at. In that, I don't know that the patch itself would make me. Like, if I was going to pick it back up again, I don't know that I would play it three or four times now just yeah. because the loot's different. Maybe if we played it as a group, I'd be more inclined. I'm more of a social gamer now anyway, so yeah. I think that's what...
You play games outside.
Yeah. I just moved my screen outside, yeah.
With that, I think I wanted to play more, but so I should mention I played this much later. Obviously, I played after the patch. So no one I knew was playing it at the
yeah.
time.
You also had my account, so I couldn't play with you.
Don't tell Battle.net yeah. or Blizzard. I just imagine Battle.net is like Skynet. It's a thing. We have deleted your accounts. By the way, random note, we tried to play with Dave, our friend, and somehow his account is set to Malaysia or something.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's right. He's not Malaysian. He's never been to Malaysia. I don't know.
I don't know how he would have chosen
how did
that
he set
from the
that up?
No idea. But anyway, what I wanted to get to was that I could play it again. I'm definitely the type, I can't usually, very rarely, can I repeat games
yeah,
immediately.
Right away, yeah.
But I will go back to it. But the thing is, the problem is, I mean, we talk about why this isn't a great thing, but we're about to buy the Taken King. We're thinking maybe if it's a good price, getting Reaper of Souls, the expansion to Diablo.
I already got it.
Yeah. So the quote unquote problem is we still spend our money. And like I said, I'm yep. more okay with Diablo. It feels like it was a better,
yeah.
like Destiny was a little more disappointing, but I kind of quick side note, it's interesting. And Diablo is maybe an exception, but in the PC gaming space, pretty much every MMO has gone free to play. World of Warcraft is probably the exception. Yeah. You look at Destiny, there are not that many MMOs on consoles. There's Final Fantasy XIV.
It's technically not an MMO.
Yeah.
I mean, they're very adamant about saying that.
And it's not a monthly fee, but I'm pretty sure it's doing really well. Even there are games that have a good base, like I think Guild Wars does well and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But I don't think there's anything that has explosive growth like Destiny does.
Are there any in-app purchases for Destiny?
No,
other than
so.
The expansions? Okay.
I don't believe so.
I don't think so, no.
Okay.
Which is cool. I mean, it's a different system. You don't pay monthly,
yeah.
but they keep your character, as far as I know. They don't deactivate
it. There's no auction house.
There's no auction house. Yeah, so that would be
real
money. So
you have to grind.
So their model is to, for you to grind and get you to buy expansions.
But like you said, you play Diablo multiple times through, even though you're a little... I mean, it's better now. Destiny, I mean... Phil Spencer, who's probably incredibly busy, has 300 hours logged.
I think he just leaves his Xbox off.
I think Destiny calculates that. I could be wrong.
No,
he probably
loves that game.
Yeah.
But it's people really like it. Our friend Dave has played it a ton.
Well, so, you know, I've already said I don't really play first-person shooters. I don't own a next-gen console. But I was listening to a podcast called Pixels with Patrick Beja.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know the show?
Pixels? I've heard of it. I've
okay.
listened to it.
So, I listened to it, and he got me kind of excited for Destiny. And
size Rob, PlayStation.
Rob and I tweeted back and forth with him. And so, I don't know. I think, who knows when I'm going to get a PlayStation. Probably not until after the holiday season. But if I pick one up, I'll probably get that
we
game.
We will not be playing Destiny still.
You won't be playing with me? Okay, well, then I guess...
That means we'll have to get into it again.
Yeah, I know. Hopefully, there'll be another well-timed expansion so you guys will play with me.
And so, I don't know. We haven't decided yet, but maybe we'll stream it on our YouTube channel in the future. Can we stream from PS4?
No, PS4 doesn't let you stream on YouTube. How dumb is that?
Never mind.
And because they don't let me split audio out of the back, I can't stream... through my capture card and listen on the headphones at the same time.
I'll just commentate and make drawings.
Sounds ridiculous.
Sorry to tease you guys. We're not going to stream.
Can't do it.
Well, you can do it on Twitch.
We can do it on Twitch.
What's Twitch?
Speaking of Twitch, next topic.
That was the best one Sean's ever had. No, I took 50 episodes and he's done a good segue.
I'm out.
He's done. He quits.
Drop the mic. He's done. Get out while you're ahead. So speaking of Twitch, I've been watching esports lately. And great. My computer and notes just went to sleep. But I'm going to do this freestyle.
Nice.
Because you're a professional.
Because I prepared. No. I've been watching esports. And I've been talking to you guys about this. But I grew up watching a lot of actual sports. I've been watching.
I'm trying to say soccer's not a sport.
No,
man.
Traditional athletics. So I watched a lot of football, a lot of basketball, even baseball. Even though I don't love baseball, I even watched a little bit of hockey. And when I could, you know, grew up in the 90s. So football, soccer wasn't really big here, and there wasn't a lot of opportunity to watch it outside of Olympics and World Cup. But I watched all that stuff. I was a huge sport fan. And then as I started getting into college and just got busier, ended up cutting the cord, and my friends just didn't watch sports, so I kind of stopped watching sports. And then more recently, with some of the stuff coming out about football with concussions and just lifelong injuries, life-altering injuries, that sort of thing, I just can't really endorse it as an educator and as an advocate for children. So that's kind of... That timing plus some of the onset of new games like Hearthstone, like Heroes of the Storm, and just League of Legends being a beast,
StarCraft.
And Dota, StarCraft definitely, Dota being on ESPN the last couple years, the Bar international. Craft. So I'm starting to get into esports, and it's pretty. So I think like esports are legitimately going to replace my past passion and energy for athletic sports. So
just tell all our kids to play video games.
Yeah, it's really interesting from that standpoint. You know, like it's any body type, any type of kid can play it if they want to, right? Because there's lots of different types of games. It's not going to in moderation, it's not going to physically damage you.
Of course, to be good at it, you have to play 8 to 10 hours a day.
Well,
so.
Yeah. I mean, if you want to be pro anything, you have to do 8-10 hours a day.
And
whatever.
Even some, it's more accessible to disabled kids because it's closer. I mean, granted, not everybody can, but I actually know somebody who's a amputee. He doesn't have any arms. I haven't actually asked him, but I overheard him saying he plays video games. I assume he does it with his feet.
Yeah.
But, nice. I mean...
That's cool.
And actually, I don't know if you went to that room, but when we were at PAX East earlier this year, Paul and I went to a room where they had some exhibits for disabled gaming. So they showcased different modified gaming pads and like that. It was really neat. It was really cool. And speaking of that, just being more open to all types of people, so... I bring this up because just last weekend was the North American Championships for Heroes of the Storm. And so I'll get to describing that in a second, but just talking about being very open, I'm fairly certain that one of the teams had what's the correct term for it? Transgendered individual. And like, you are not going to see that on any athletic team in this country. It's just not going to be a very comfortable thing for that person to do.
I should mention one quick thing. This actually became a really big controversy recently. In MMA, or I think it was UFC specifically, there was a transgender woman. Yeah. So she was originally a man. She transitioned to a woman.
Yeah.
And it became a big deal. This is another topic unto itself, but when you look at sports, we've all kind of agreed that we've segregated them and we're pretty much okay with that. Most sports, there's a women's team and men's team.
Except for tennis. It's like one of the only things I can think of. Oh, actually, NASCAR.
Tennis. No, they
NASCAR.
Keep tennis separate.
Mixed doubles.
No, mixed doubles.
But it's still like, it's like a little part. Yeah. Even like NASCAR. Chess. Isn't there a women's... Like chess grandmaster,
I don't know.
But either way, the point is, we've just accepted that we're going to segregate by genders. This was a very confusing topic because a lot of women were afraid to fight her because they felt like she was a man and she would be stronger. She has been beaten. And actually, I believe, I might be misquoting, I think Ronda Rousey was specifically against her.
Yeah.
Which is funny because I think a lot of people have given Ronda Rousey support. She's gotten really popular. But
she likes Pokemon.
Yeah. Sorry, not to interrupt.
Yeah, no. So maybe I assumed too much when I said you wouldn't find transgender. That's true. That's true. Individual sports.
And they have problems. Like, this is a huge moment. It really is.
Yeah. So, you know, I want to talk a little bit about the North American championship with Heroes of the Storm, some of the stuff that I saw, and then just talk more generally about esports. You guys chime in as you feel.
Oh, and quick thing on that. Sorry, I keep interrupting.
Let us get to the damn topic.
There's
Sean.
Two examples of it, too. Scarlet in StarCraft.
Yeah.
She's transgender and she's Canadian.
Yeah.
They're very accepting here. Yeah. So keep going. Sorry.
Yeah. So, last weekend, some things that I noticed, the production values were a weird blend of very high quality, like videography and light and sound and stuff like that. But you could tell that as far as the programming and the planning of it and the pacing of things, they still have some polish to do. So I was watching with Rob a little bit before we started the show, just showing him some of the highlights. And there was an instance where there was a very so the commentators, let me say, were universally very good. And some of them came from StarCraft, and some of them, you know, were relatively new to the game, but that sort of thing. So anyhow, commentators were great. And there was one game in particular that we were watching, and it was a very dramatic point where, like, this guy was going on a tear and he was melting through the heroes on the opponent team. And the camera, you know, because it's a video feed, they can just say, play the main screen or whatever and show the whole game. Well, they pan out to an actual camera behind the stadium, beyond the audience, and show the big screen. And I'm like, why would you do that? Right. I know in a football
game, it's like
you're
in the audience.
Yeah, exactly. Right. So, because that's better viewing. But you know, like in a football game or a soccer game, you might show the audience every once in a while, but you do that in downtime, right?
I'm imagining them zooming in on the Jumbotron. Yeah. Look how high def this is.
Yeah, exactly. That's kind of the feeling. It's like, I don't understand why they're doing that, and is the camera guy or is the director? I don't know if they had a director telling which camera shots to take and that sort of thing. But, you know, if you're the director, if there is a director, you'd never pull out of that shot when it's getting to that climax.
Right.
So that was kind of weird.
Are you looking for a new job, Josiah?
No, I'm pretty happy with mine.
I want to say one thing on that. Are you going to keep going with that? Or?
No, go ahead.
So two things to unpack with that. I think one thing that's really cool about this is it's literally on the edge of technology in that, this is on ESPN, but most of it is live streaming.
Yeah.
So it's literally all online, which is great for cord cutters.
Well, this was on Twitch.
So either way, it's on the internet.
Yep.
And this is great for cord cutters. So you don't have to buy ESPN, which is notoriously the most difficult channel to get. And it fits the audience. The people are, I feel like everybody in the audience probably has the game, which means they also have the internet. Not everybody always has television nowadays. It's switched over a little bit. So I think that's one very cool thing. But because of that, it's so new, and I don't think this has happened even when YouTube tries to do their music awards. They're trying to do different things because it's online, and they feel like we can do anything. We don't really have the FCC on our backs.
Right, right.
We can do crazy stuff. But then I don't think they get professionals, but maybe not the best people, or it just doesn't work out. A lot of internet-only things. Like, I've seen the YouTube Music Awards. They had cool people on there, but it was a mess.
Yeah.
It was really a mess.
Yeah. No, overall, I give them a B+.
Sure.
But you can tell.
Building toward the future.
Yeah. It's a B+ based on potential, I think. You know, and so a couple other things. And this is actually, I'll point it out, and it just that it's different. I'm not really saying it's good or bad, but they had very few ads.
Huh.
And so so I'm okay with that. But they had to, you know, they had to have downtime while they swap out the teams and, and that sort of thing. So they had, you know, they'd have segments of comments and analysis, and then they'd switch to the MCs of the event, and then they'd play some ads. And the ads were, for the most part, all Blizzard properties.
This was the international?
No, not international. That's Dota. So this was Heroes of the Sears.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Yeah. That's Valve.
Yep.
Heroes. Yeah.
So so they were all Blizzard properties, and most of them were just the trailers for the new characters that they've been adding to Heroes of the Storm over the last, you know, couple months, yeah. Which were fun to watch. But, you know, if you play the game, you've already seen them and that sort of thing. So it's nothing new. It's nothing, you know, and every once in a while they throw in an ad for the expansion to StarCraft or something like that, or they advertise their next tournament for Hearthstone, that sort of thing.
But they're not traditional ads, right? They're not. They're advertising their own products.
Yeah, right. and they did have sponsors, Tortino's, Pizza Rolls, whatever, and a couple others, but they never had ads from those companies, which, like I said, I'm not really complaining. I just thought it was a little interesting, and so it's just different from what we see. The other thing they did during that downtime was play profiles, team profiles and stuff like that.
That's cool.
High-quality production. You know, some of the team members, it's no different from the NBA or NFL. Sometimes you have guys who can really talk to the camera, yeah, and explain what they're going to do and how they're going to approach the game, and others are like, I'm going to do good. And and sometimes when I play, I try to beat the other person. Okay.
That's so, how they sound, too.
You know, most of them were, I think, on average, more intelligent than football players. But still had some of that. And I'm sure some of it is just nerves, right? But
sure.
So, but overall, the production value, you know, the videography, the sound, the lighting of those profiles were really good. And this was a two-day tournament. So on the second day, they replayed all the same profiles, and I was a little disappointed. Yeah. I kind of had hoped that they maybe did some long, not long, but like
go more
5-minute interviews with the teams after their performance, that sort of thing, and then produced those the next day and showed them. But they just literally replayed the same profiles, and some of those teams had already been eliminated and stuff like that. So it was a little awkward.
So here's where I am with esports. I like watching games that I play, which I makes sense. So I like watching StarCraft, I like watching Heroes of the Storm, and I like watching Hearthstone. And I think the biggest issue is I just never know when to watch them.
Yeah, when or where.
There's no unified, I've been looking for this forever, but there's no unified calendar where I can just see, and I know this is hard because they're put on by different groups. You know, it's not just one league where you can say, oh, here's, you know, all the soccer games from England and all this. So I understand that piece of it, but it's very hard for me unless I go to, you know, Battle.net or StarCraft. Actually, they do a good job in the games themselves saying when big events are. So if you log into to Heroes of the Storm, they usually have an ad in the launcher where it shows, oh, this is coming up, so, you know, here's how you can watch it. But unless I'm actively playing those games all the time, I'm never going to know when they are.
Yeah.
And there's no, you know, one site where I can go like ESPN FC where I can see all of the games that are, or all the matches that are coming.
Yeah.
So it's hard for me to get into it. And I mean, even like when you just showed me the one video from that tournament, I got into it.
Yeah,
like,
you get pumped.
Now I
want to
play this again.
You start learning new strategies, and you're like, oh, why don't we do that?
I'm totally into it. It's just hard for me to
I can
find
totally
out.
Get a pentakill now.
It's just hard for me to find out where and when to go watch them.
Yeah. I would say that's going to be the biggest challenge for me, so I'm going to try to tweet out and see what people recommend. You know, because it's kind of similar with MMA, where you have these different leagues, right? Like there's some of the big ones and then some of the smaller leagues, and you're kind of like, well, if they're the champion, I want the champion of the big league, right? So I guess that's what I'm looking for, like which league is the official one. With certain games like Blizzard and stuff like that, it's fairly obvious that because they're handling their own tournaments right now, and the winners, the main tournament is going to be at BlizzCon, so that's kind of a no-brainer. But some of the others, like Street Fighter or Tekken, some of the things that I wouldn't mind watching. Although, about this before, I'm kind of off Japanese games. I know that sounds fairly explain it later.
What's the big what's the big fighting
spoiler
event?
He's not
Evo,
racist.
Right?
Evo, yeah. Evo, yeah.
Which I believe has kind of declined in popularity. I think it jumped up a bit with Street Fighter 4 because it was good. But I think it's gone up and down.
Yeah. But so I'm going to have to do some research on, like, what are the tournaments and what are the seasons?
I mean, I think eventually, and again, it gets kind of difficult because you have different companies who are making, like Blizzard puts on their events, Valve puts on their events. But I think, you know, I don't think we're that far off from having a channel on network that's just esports.
Well, yeah, that's what I was going to say next. So last week we were talking about the Apple TV a little bit and some of the apps and stuff like that. I would totally pay $5 for a channel, $5 a month for a channel mm-hmm. that aggregated the events. It doesn't even have to be live, you know, and they could replay stuff.
Yep.
I just want to be able to go and find
on demand,
you know, on demand. Hey, this was the last tournament. Cause you know, these tournaments, the one that happened last weekend, I mean, the first day was 11 hours and the second day was 8 hours. I think they had two different stages. I'm not sure.
Well,
but,
it's tough with Twitch because there's no bookmarking. So I can't say go to this match.
Yeah. I had a post-it note where I was writing down stuff I had to actually
StarCraft. I think they do a pretty good job with that. If I'm not mistaken, you could actually go to games and then individual matches within the game.
Sure.
So it's interesting you bring up StarCraft because I feel like this problem was bigger with StarCraft because the Koreans were so dominant, yet it was made by American teams. So, I mean, you had to play in Korea to really play the good players.
Right.
But at the same time, you know, it was popular here. You have Evil Geniuses, you have Team Liquid.
Right.
So it gets complicated. There's all these grand finals because there's all these regions.
Yeah.
Whereas
now
they've kind of pulled it together.
Yeah,
there's
you need the unified belt.
Yeah.
And you bring up the other thing that I wanted to mention is like, So you mentioned, like, as far as esports, Rob, when you watch a game that you've played, you can get excited. Mm-hmm. When you think of, like, professional athletic sports, those traditional sports, you know, I played soccer, Little League, when I was 4 or 5,
sure.
right? But I love to watch soccer.
You were in your prime.
You know, I never played any kind of organized football. I'm way too small for that, right? So that type of thing. But I can watch a sport, even golf and hockey. I've never played hockey. Curling, I'll watch curling.
Oh, curling's awesome.
Right?
Yeah.
But with
nobody
this stuff,
like curling.
With the esports, I tend to only watch games that I've played before, and I don't know who people are. Like some of the teams, you know them because they actually have teams for several different games. And so like Evil Geniuses, they have several different games that they play and they have a team house. And so I'll know the team names, but I don't know any person on the team other than Scarlett because she's somewhat unique and she's really good and fun to watch. But that's the other thing I'm waiting for.
There's no profiles. Like you can't go up and read about these.
That's the other thing I'm waiting for is like name recognition, not mass appeal,
sure.
but for me personally, I need to know who
just
I'm
real
rooting
quick,
for.
The other thing I forgot to mention before I was trailing off, I think that I would watch games that I don't normally play. Like I do tend to watch the finals of Evo just because it's a big deal.
Yeah.
You know?
We'll watch the finals.
But that's what I mean. Like if there was a channel where I could just say, oh, let me just see what's on, I would probably, like if there was a Halo match on, I'd check it out. You know?
That's true.
And
that's
it's just
true.
Like,
yeah, if it was easy.
Right now you have to go out of your way in order to find content.
Yeah. And you find that content and it might not be high quality. It might just be somebody from the audience, that sort of thing. And you don't know, you know, drama wise, you don't know what the impact of that one game is on the season and as far as a tournament goes, that sort of thing.
Commentators helps a lot.
Yeah. So a couple things with that. I totally agree. I pretty much only watch games that I have played before, but that's largely, and I think you guys agree with this, is because those are the games I understand.
Right.
Particularly
sure. Yeah, yeah.
With complex games. Like I watch StarCraft because I know all the units. I watch Dota. They say all these spells that they're using, all these skills, and I don't know any of them. And particularly MOBAs. It's a lot about tension and then a huge explosion of things happening.
Well, they all have their own unique pacing, but yeah, you're right. So that's a good point, though, that Dota is the only game esport that I'll watch that I don't really play.
Hmm.
I've never really gotten past the tutorial in Dota.
But you play MOBAs, though.
But that's the thing.
MOBAs.
I play MOBAs, so I understand it. And then, you know, it just you have good commentators and you can waddle through it.
But I don't know why I feel like athletic sports, whatever you want to call it, sometimes feel easier. Like, yeah, the running back had the ball. He ran to the end zone, touchdown.
Well, it's just such a big part of our culture. I think you absorb
True, that too. And obviously most people don't understand, you know, different trick plays, options, stuff like that. But they get the gist of it. Whereas sometimes in Dota, stuff for me happens so fast. I get a pentakill, everybody goes nuts, and I don't know what happened. The other thing I want to quickly mention, this actually
Hold on. I know a squib kick. I only know what that is because I played a football game on the Genesis back in like 93. And now I know what a squib kick is. I don't think I've ever seen that. I've never heard of that ever happening.
Yeah, people don't do that in real life.
Anyway, go ahead.
So this might be a topic unto itself.
It was my go-to move, though.
I'm going to say it anyway. So I was skeptical about esports and kind of Let's Plays in general. And recently, Jimmy Kimmel did a
segment. I did want to bring that up.
Kind of making fun of it. But here's the thing. He was making fun of it. He makes fun of everything. I thought it was I thought it was in good spirit.
Yeah, I mean, I know he's a comedian. That's kind of his style for many, many years.
He is a jerk.
To troll people and insult. Not overboard, but yeah,
he trolls children.
He trolls people.
He has to know a lot of his audience. There's got to be a...
But
you know,
I did feel like he was adamant, because they did several segments where he like would not apologize, and he was very adamant that like this is not a real thing, and you should not get upset about it.
So he did, but I still would defend him in that. I think the reason why that happened was he put that on YouTube, which his videos are very popular on YouTube, and the comments were ridiculous. And
I
don't want to go into this completely. Yes. It kind of goes back to Gamergate. It's this weird thing that, I mean, most gamers are tech savvy, so they use YouTube, and they're just vitriolic. So
it's that anonymity, you know?
But it doesn't happen in other fields. Like, there are plenty of critics of movies, there's other types of media, but it's not to the level, like, he singled out tweets, and it looks bad for most gamers for obvious reasons, and Gamergate has been in the news. But anyway, he ended up, he did three segments on this, and he really reacted to this. He ended up playing a game with two big YouTubers, and I liked, they chose people, for lack of a better term, it was a girl and a guy, and they were pretty normal, like they didn't seem like a stereotypical video gamer, and they're pretty popular, and it was kind of awkward, but I think the video game streamers came off well, in my opinion. But it was a little awkward. But
I mean, you can tell, like, you know, he does not respect video games. He it's very foreign to him.
Yeah.
And that was very clear. And so, you know, I'm fine at poking fun at everybody and, you know, equal opportunity. But at some point, like, you need to understand who you're making fun of. Otherwise, it's just really mean and ignorant.
Yeah.
And that's what I saw. No excuse for people sending him death threats and that sort of thing, and saying he should die and get cancer or whatever. That's uncalled for. But protected by our well, to some degree, protected by our Constitution.
We should write this down. I actually think maybe in the future we'll talk about when is gaming going to be accepted. Like chess, I feel like, is accepted, even though it's not very popular.
Well, we do need to wrap this up, but I will say to that that point, you know, you not to call winners and losers yet, but
winners
you
don't do drugs.
But you look at Conan O'Brien.
Yeah.
And Jimmy Fallon.
Jimmy Fallon.
And they both do video game content regularly.
Yep.
And Jimmy...
Fallon.
No, the guy we were just
Kimmel.
Talking about.
Kimmel.
Jimmy. So, you know, he clearly does not understand that segment of his population. Yeah. And I wouldn't be surprised if they choose to watch Conan O'Brien or Jimmy Fallon from now on.
Considering how old Conan is, it's pretty
forward-looking. Yeah, and it was really surprising that, right, Jimmy Kimmel is not that old.
Yeah.
I think he's younger than Conan O'Brien.
I would think so.
And so, you know, it was just a little surprising. But anyhow, let's move on to our change-up.
Yes, so this week's change-up is brought to you by Green Man Gaming. You can get 20% off the latest games by going to our website at thecommentist.com and clicking on the banner and entering in the voucher code. And yeah. Get a pretty good discount off.
Yeah, 20%, right?
Yeah,
pretty nice.
It's a good deal.
New games as well. So, change up for this week is, what are you playing? We've been talking about games, both topics so far.
What instrument are you playing?
Yes. What instruments
I'm on the pan
can you play right now?
Guzan. 2 points to anybody knows what that is.
So, you know, I kind of showed my cards earlier. I am playing a lot of Heroes of the Storm. And based on watching the tournament and some of the characters in Heroes of the Storm and the game mechanics, and then, like I said, I listened to that Pixels episode with Patrick Beja where he was talking about Destiny, and we drew the connection to Destiny and Diablo being very similar. I'm about to start playing Diablo again. So that's what I'm playing, Heroes of the Storm, and soon to start playing Diablo 3 again.
It's interesting because there was kind of a lull after The Witcher 3 came out for me, and so that came out.
Well, when did Rocket League come out? So that was before?
That was around the same time, yeah. So Rocket League and Witcher 3 came out earlier in the year, and I spent a lot of the summer playing Witcher 3 and very content about that. And it's been a few months now since I put that down, or 2 or 3 months. And I'm in this period where I was like, oh, you know, I can't wait for another game to come out. Like, you know, I want to get excited about something again. And now it's like I have an overload of games.
Yeah.
Like, they come in waves. Yeah. And now it's like I don't have enough time in the day to play all of them. So FIFA came out this week, which is, easily, I've definitely said this before, but it's the one franchise that I buy every single year, and I spend hundreds probably of hours every single year playing the series. I'm already 8 hours in, I think, in 2 days. So FIFA is definitely the big one for me. And now the Destiny and Sean, and again, a lot of it goes down to what my friends are playing. So, you know, with Sean and Dave, we'll be playing Destiny. And then Josiah and Sean and I try to find things to play on the weekend. So we're playing Terra for a while. We've been waiting for something else to get into. So now Diablo is going to be that game.
Yep.
Too many games.
So...
Just say it.
I promised these two that I would not bring up a certain series multiple times.
Rob just pulled a knife on the shot.
Seriously.
I don't mind you talking about it, really.
I'm happy to announce.
Thank you for not saying Marvel Puzzle Quest.
The last game I played was Destiny.
Yay!
Destiny. And I do intend to play it more. I think I'll get Taken King. I need to level up a bit because I think you have to be level 40 to play the Taken King.
That's the cap.
Pace yourself. Level 30 or something. Pace yourself, and in 6 months I'll get Taken King.
Well, they give you a coin that lets you jump to 25. Okay. But it's funny, so you have to get skills to get basic stuff like a grenade and double jump, which is super useful. The mechanics are solid in the game. But anyway, our friend Dave decided to make a new character. He started level 25, but he was level 25 and he couldn't throw a grenade. He was impotent. But yeah, so Destiny and I look forward. I'm looking to play actually PS3 games for the near future, but we'll see.
Which PS3 game, Sean? It's the 50th episode, so I'll give you a pass. You can say.
So the set of games I'm on are Red Dead Redemption.
Oh, cool.
Nice. Shadow of the Colossus, which that's the reason why I bought the
PS3.
You've
been holding off on that game.
I don't know why. It's like savoring it or something. This is literally why I bought
the PS3. I hope it lives up to your expectations.
I mean, I played the beginning. I do not even know why I was immediately in love with it. But anyway.
But you won't touch it now.
That's what I'm saying. I don't know why. I'm just weird. And I think the reason why I got the PS3 version is it's smoother frame rate and there's less aliasing. But anyway, I want to get Dragon's Dogma, but I might wait for that on PC. And I also got Okami HD, which I've already played, but I really, really like that. If you guys like good art style, it's incredible.
Yeah,
it's
so beautiful. It looks literally pretty amazing. I'm not big. It's basically a platformer, right?
It's a action platformer because you do fight.
Did you?
I mean, you're a wolf.
It looks amazing, but I'm just not
good
at platformers.
Did you play Demon's Souls already? Was that on the list?
Wait, what game Demon's Souls?
Never heard of.
Is that the prequel to The Witcher? I did, and I beat.
Oh, you already beat it.
Yeah,
good God!
I went through it pretty quickly. I was actually a little worried. I was kind of down on Dark Souls 2, genuinely, and I don't think it deserved all the nines it got. So I was a little afraid I wasn't going to like Demon's Souls now that they've gotten better. But the mechanics definitely improved as the Soul series went on, and I loved Bloodborne. But Demon's Souls was really solid. It was a lot of fun to play.
So happy you finished that. Now you don't have to hear about
it. Guess what? Dark Souls 3, early 2016.
The beta is coming soon.
Yeah, I signed up for it, but I don't know if I'll get
it. I signed up for it too, actually, so I can just talk shit about it more.
Trolley.
This game sucks.
Cool. So we're going to get on to our final topic.
This is sad. I don't want this episode to end. I'm having so much fun.
Yeah.
So
we're going to end it on a depressing topic.
Yeah. there's a silver lining, I'll say. So there was recently a situation you've probably read in the news. There was a kid, I think Ahmed Mohammed. He was a kid in, I believe, high school, maybe eighth grade. He was a younger kid. He brought in a homemade clock.
Yep.
And this was in Irving, Texas. I don't know if that matters. But some teachers reported him, even though he had previously showed it to one teacher and showed him what it did.
Yeah, I think engineering or pre-engineering class, he showed it to his teacher.
Sure.
So she saw it and said, I think it was a he. He saw it. That teacher saw it and said, that's cool. Don't show anybody else.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't hear about that.
I should just a quick mention. There is a level of shadiness to it in that exposed wires always look shady. It was in like a suitcase kind of box, like with latches, and it had a lot of exposed wires, but he could easily explain what it does. I'm thinking maybe because it was a clock and it had a timer, maybe they thought more, but the fact that there's no kind of, I don't know, Semtex.
I haven't built a bomb, just to be clear. Are they cartoon bombs where they have big clocks on the front? Like, is that the thing?
Yeah.
Well, just to be clear, he did not get in trouble for bringing a bomb to school. It was a hoax bomb. That is that is against the rules to try to prank or hoax the school.
Stop bringing into logic
thinking
into this.
You have a bomb.
Sure.
So I just want to be clear. Let's get the facts straight. So as they've been reported.
Working in education, I kind of understand, you know, the response to a
degree. So nobody thought it was a bomb. Nobody thought it was a real bomb. They did not feel that they were in imminent danger. They did not evacuate the building. Mm-hmm. But they did think that he was trying to disrupt the school day in some fashion.
Right.
And so that definitely is an issue, having the hoax bomb idea. Although there is an argument to be made, a lot of exposed electronics could look. I kid you not, I was flying through Dubai once, and I had my MP3 player, which is a brick. And I kid you not, he made me take it out and look at it, and I was like, I swear it's an MP3 player. I plugged my headphones in and gave it to him, but it was such a brick. He's like, what does this thing do? It was an iRiver for anyone who knows.
Yeah, iRiver. That's
so funny. So anyway, he ended up getting in trouble, and the police ended up intervening, I guess you could say.
Yeah, the SRO, school resource officer.
And it totally blew up. I think
the bomb did not blow up.
Poor choice of words. Oh man. So yes,
it exploded.
Gained popularity.
It became a huge, huge news item.
Yeah. So they, you know, I guess a friend took some pictures, so they posted that online.
He was wearing a NASA shirt. He got handcuffed, restrained, whatever.
And if you didn't kind of figure from his name, he is Muslim. Yeah. I don't know where he's from, like where his parents are from, or I believe he grew up here. But
skinny kid in glasses.
Yeah.
Yes, he's brown, wearing a NASA shirt. Doesn't look thuggish at all. Even if he did look thuggish, it was not a bomb. Nobody thought it was a bomb. And so, you know, I want to talk about this as a former educator. One word, de-escalation, right? Mm-hmm. When we look at like Michael Brown and some of the other people who have lost their lives in the last 2 years to police actions, you know, de-escalation, whether those police officers really feared for their life and in some cases, not even police officers, but whether those people honestly feared for their life and felt like they had to draw a weapon and discharge the weapon, there are certain de-escalation tactics that you can use. And so same thing goes in the classroom. I taught for 8 years in what technically are urban districts, and I literally sent kids to the office or called for a principal to come to my classroom twice in my eight, nine years of teaching. Mm-hmm. And so one was a kid, unfortunately had literally a mental breakdown, and he eventually had to be hospitalized and get help for that. And but he like flipped over his desk and started crying in the middle of the room. So had to call the principal to help supervise him while I got control in the room. Other case, like a 6 foot, 200-pound kid, ninth grader, 14-year-old, like stood up and said, "I'm gonna beat the shit out of you," to another kid, and I said, "Well, you need to leave the room right now, right?" But everything else in between, I de-escalated,
right?
And that's a huge tactic, right? So even if you know, you think some kid is doing something wrong, talk to him. "Hey, what are you doing? I don't think this is a bomb, but do you see how somebody else might think this is a bomb? Why'd you bring it to class? Were you trying to scare people or
have
a joke?"
Well, it sounds like that might have been what the first teacher said. I don't know to the extent
Well, if
what,
the first teacher
said,
thought
but
really it was going to be that much trouble, then give him a note or keep the clock and say, "Hey, I'm going to hold on to this till the end of the day, and you can come back for it. And I'm just going to tell your other teachers that, you know, this doesn't look like a bomb. I know you weren't trying to build a bomb, but you know how my people might think it's a bomb," right? There's a million and one things that adults could have done to not put that kid in handcuffs. It's a shame. It's absolutely shameful that he ended up in handcuffs. Insane to me.
So I will say, I don't know if you, Sean, you were about to get to this, but I will say the response from the tech world has actually been really impressive and really good to see. So I know he got invites. Did Obama come out and invite him to the White House?
Yeah, he went to the White House.
I know he got invited to by Facebook. Zuckerberg, I think, to go out to Facebook. Maybe Google is
Google has their annual science fair, and he had a picture on Twitter with Sergey Brin.
I want to say one of the colleges, maybe MIT, had some kind of invite for him. I forget what. I don't know if it was.
Can you tell us how to build a clock? All of ours are broken.
But I think it's just really good to see in what could have been, you know, an event that really discouraged this individual from pursuing, you know, a technical field in the future.
Yeah, we should mention why they did that. Obviously, it was just to support them, but they also specifically said, because we need these kinds of engineers who are thinking outside of the box.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not easy to just create this thing, especially when you're pretty
clearly
much a kid.
He's pretty bright.
I think it was a math. I'm sorry, it was a clock kit. Like he didn't.
He's a genius.
I think he built other things.
You know, clearly, if there was a chance of discrimination, if that was a part of it, obviously I denounce that. I already talked about how adults in the system could have handled it much differently to make it a positive, at the very least, no harm situation. But I also want to caution against, holding people up and putting them on a pedestal. It's kind of like it almost has the same feel of like child actors, right? We see these child actors who are so amazingly talented, or somebody like Justin Bieber, right? He's got a lot of talent. He was very young when he came on the scene, and we put him on a pedestal as a society, as a culture.
And now he's
brilliant. And then he's still talented, but he's kind of, you know? So I just want to caution.
Sure,
as a culture, we get really behind people,
right,
and we make them poster children. In this case, literally a child.
True, but I mean, at the end of the day, you know, I think it's still rare to see young men and young women at his age who are showing interest in these fields. Like, I don't think that's the dominating consensus among young kids is to go into programming fields, to go into building robotics and things like that. And this could have easily been something to dissuade himself and maybe others around him from pursuing these
and robots are the future.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And clearly they're the future.
But you're right.
I don't want to take anything away from him. Definitely enjoy his time.
Build a clock, Josiah?
I have not built any clocks.
He's going to come in next
week. He actually built
it. He's going to come in next week. See how easy this is? I got my clock right
no,
here.
I'm not trying to take anything away.
I know what you mean.
You know, that's a part of our culture that I just hope nothing but the best for him, and that he doesn't get churned up in that part of our culture.
I hope he's like the head of NASA in 30 years. I can go back and say, see, I knew that kid was special.
I mean, I think we have a habit of being extremely reactionary in America. Yeah, I mean, a lot of places are, but we definitely do. And I think, I mean, you get support from one of the biggest CEOs in the country. You get support from the president.
Yeah.
I mean, you're just going to get support.
And, you know, good for him, and hopefully this changes culture, changes actions and behavior in school systems, make it more comfortable for people to be quote-unquote smart. But as a black kid and growing up in, I was my father was in the military, so I went to...
He's in the military.
I went to different schools, and so sometimes I saw this, sometimes I didn't see this. But, you know, a lot of times black kids would say, oh, why are you acting white? Mm-hmm. When I was like, no, I'm just trying to do well in school and learn. That's not acting white. And I didn't take, I mean, you could say, oh, that's too bad people said that to you. But I think the bigger tragedy is that people say that basically about themselves.
Sure.
Because that's an insult to themselves to say, oh, you're acting like you're not one of us. And the way you're acting is intelligent and proactive and those sort of things. So that's saying we shouldn't be acting that way. That's the thing I don't want to see. And so from that standpoint, if this can help other groups feel more positive about doing well in school and taking, you know, carving out their piece of the world in a positive way, then more power to them. But hopefully he doesn't get eaten up by the machine.
Yeah.
Quick question. Do you think he'll make another thing?
Clock?
Something?
No, he's already peaked. This is it. Yeah. It's all downhill. It's just drugs and sex and rock and roll.
Bill's a Gundam robot to just like take out everything.
Have you ever seen the Indian kid who wins a spelling bee? And he's so like just... He just does not care and all this confetti is falling out of his face. excitement.
And that's the thing. It's like, you know, already we're asking that questions. What's he going to do? And like, he's a 14-year-old kid.
Yeah.
I've seen amazing 14-year-old kids. And some of them, they go on to do really great things. And others, they got their girlfriends pregnant. Or they themselves are pregnant. And not to say that life is over, but it's a very different trajectory than what you anticipated.
I will say, you know, not to, you know, go on stereotypes and whatnot, but he's probably getting a lot more girls' numbers now than he was before this. So some he's positives have come out of this. All right. Well, on that note, that is going to do it for our big 50th episode of The Unwind. Thank you so much for listening. You can subscribe on the iTunes and Stitcher. We also have some videos now on YouTube if you want to go check out The Commentist. Please share us with your friends. Leave us some comments. You can submit questions and topics to us directly by going to theunwind.audio. We, us three, are also on a good podcast called Roll the Hit that is all about Dungeons & Dragons and playing Dungeons & Dragons, and it's good stuff. And we'll see you next week.
I wonder if it would be a good Halloween costume to be a mix of Flavor Flav and Ahmed, where you wear his clock around your
Make sure
neck.
You have exposed wires.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I might get arrested for that.
Kija babes.